Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
There's nothing like an interglacial period, one of those balmy intermissions in an ice age. And the great news is that this one is due to last for another 50,000 years. What a break for our kind. Just one problem. We can't seem to stop burning up all those buried trees from way back in the Carboniferous Age in the form of coal, and the remains of ancient plankton in the form of oil and gas. If we could, we'd be home free, climate-wise. Instead, we're dumping carbon dioxide into the atmosphere at a rate the Earth hasn't seen since the great climate catastrophes of the past, the ones that led to mass extinctions. We just can't seem to break our addiction to the kinds of fuel that'll bring back a climate last seen by the dinosaurs. A climate that will drown our coastal cities and wreak havoc on the environment and our ability to feed ourselves. All the while, the glorious sun pours immaculate free energy down upon us, more than we will ever need. Why can't we summon the ingenuity and courage of the generations that came before us? The dinosaurs never saw that asteroid coming. What's our excuse?
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. To Mike, it's not just another banana peel. It's future dirt. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And happy Mother's Day. You got to start that by saying, you have to start the day, you have to start the show by saying happy Mother's Day, or you're a bad person. You're an evildoer. Right, Carol?
It is a good way to start, yeah.
No, I just know how it works. I know how moms work.
You just got to put it out there.
If you don't say it, you're done. You're cooked. It's the end of the line. It's like...
Right, and there's those moms who won't say anything, and they'll
and
just
they
kind of...
never forget.
Right, and they never forget.
Never.
I'm not that kind of mom.
You know, you don't strike me as that kind of mom, actually.
Well, thank you.
That's and it is a compliment.
Thing.
I mean, that's a compliment. Yes. But happy Mom's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And happy Mom. You know, you and I were talking before the show. I really have no connection to Mother's Day anymore. It's just kind of, it's there. It's just another Sunday. It's a nice, beautiful Sunday in the neighborhood. What do I do with this?
Well, I think that's true for some people and not true for others, but...
And the same with Dad's Day. It's like, okay, just another Sunday. I'm not a dad.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sitting there waiting for people to lavish me with gifts.
Right.
And cards. And,
right.
And the good news is I don't have to get upset when they don't.
Right.
I don't have to harbor these feelings for, you know, for a year until the next Mother's Day or Father's Day. It's all a racket, believe me.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you.
It is.
It's all a racket. And, you know, it's interesting because when you have a radio show on Sunday, you're always broadcasting on a holiday. It's, you know, there's Easter, there's Mom's Day, there's Dad's Day, there's, you know, just everything seems to be a holiday. And I'll have guests say to me sometimes, well, you know, I can't, I won't be able to show up that day because it's a holiday. And I'm thinking, you know, if I took a day off on holidays, I'd never have a radio show.
Yeah, and you're so, it's so early. It's 9 to 11.
Really?
You have the rest of the day.
You come in early and you got the rest of the day, right.
So all of your guests today, we should appreciate them for their...
Because they know
because
it's Mother's
Day. Because they come in.
You know, maybe it's because they're trying to duck out of Mother's Day. It is. That's a possibility too. Oh,
true.
Mom, you know.
Yeah,
Mom. I got to do radio today.
Right.
Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, and I have to wish happy Mom's Day. Because one of the people I am connected to in terms of Mom's Day, and she's probably not even listening, but is Heather Fry, whose voice you hear at the top of the show.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of people are always asking me about Heather, and they miss her. And, we miss Heather. Well, you know, she's now a mom twice because she had a baby about 2 months ago. So...
Well, I hope she's listening.
So now
there.
She really is earning her stripes.
Yeah. There's lots of moms out there listening. So,
well, no, I know that. I just don't know them.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a couple of moms out there that actually listen to the show.
Right. I'm just saying, like you said at the beginning, you got to put it out there, and I'm agreeing.
That's right. Put it out there. So, and this is my only tribute to moms.
Okay. And then we'll end.
And we'll stop it here because, right.
Stop the madness.
We've already gone too far, and there's a call pouring in. Probably somebody wants to talk to us. I'll let you grab.
Yeah?
But the only thing I'm going to say, this is my tribute to moms today, is to play this.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
Okay. And all moms need to know that. In the words of Super Chicken, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. Although most moms are not named Fred. So...
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
Anyway, that's my tribute to moms today. Good morning. What a beautiful Sunday in Chicago. If you're not in Chicago, I saw on Facebook this morning a friend of mine in Milwaukee is contemplating putting away the snow shovels and is a little afraid to because she knows that if she does, it'll snow tomorrow. And that's the way it is in Milwaukee. It's been that way in Chicago this year. And we'll talk to somebody in just a few minutes who's had to deal with some of this because he's been gearing up for a garden sale and growing plants and dealing with cold weather. And we'll see how that's gone. excuse me. In the first part of the show today, I'm going to recap some of the stuff because that we talked about last week because I'm going out, to several places, to appear, in the next few weeks, including next week to Aurora, to the Fox Valley Garden Club, sale, which is, next Saturday. And I'll be there from about 9 to 11. So, I hope that, if you have a chance, and you live out that way, you will stop by and say hello. And it is at the Aurora Transportation Center. I don't think I mentioned that last week. The Aurora Transportation Center, the Metro train station at 233 North Broadway on Route 25, in Aurora. And, there's a ton of stuff going on. It's, annuals and perennials and, 40 vendors, vegetable plants, art, garden-related crafts, bird houses, feeders, blah, more, everything. So, and then blah, me. I'm the blah part. So come on by for that. I also want to mention that today is the final day of the Lake County Forest Preserve Native Plant Sale. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little bit, but we've been talking about that because Possibility Place Nursery has been involved in that. And that starts at 10 a.m. today, if you're interested in that. And that's at the Independence Grove Forest Preserve on Buckley Road, Route 137, east of Milwaukee Avenue in Libertyville. The Lake County Forest Preserves and Possibility Place Nursery are selling natives. And, you know, this is for you folks to say, I don't know where to find native plants. Well, here you go. And then in 3 weeks, Possibility Place is going to team up again this time with the Forest Preserve District of Will County. And they're doing their Bringing Nature Home plant sale, and I will make an appearance at that. And that's on the 31st. So a number of things going on, some of which I'm going to be involved in. Did somebody call, by the way, Carol, to wish us a happy Mother's Day?
Happy Mother's Day.
It was not so much, huh?
It was a request asking to have a weekly report on fracking.
A weekly report on fracking.
Yeah. And if no news is good news, that's great. But that was the request. Mm-hmm. They felt that.
And I understand that. I understand that concern. My response would be I am concerned about fracking. I think it's important. There's also a gazillion things going on in the planet and in Illinois, and I try to cover them all, and I have 2 hours a week.
Yeah, no, I get it. So, Ari, if you're out there,
I appreciate the suggestion. I mean, I'll take any suggestion. 773-763-9278. Is our telephone number, and you can always call. So I talked about plant sales. In a second, we'll talk about another one coming up in the city of Chicago. We will get back to the other ones that I'm going to be appearing. Just to recap, I'm at the Fox Valley Garden Club next Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. In Aurora, and then on the 31st at the Bringing Nature Home plant sale with the Forest Preserve District of Will County. And Possibility Place Nursery. Rick DeMaio weather, 9:45 today. 10:05, kind of a cool thing. Guy I met at the Good Food Festival, Dave Coulter. And he's with a company called Osage Inc., as in the Osage orange tree, which is not an orange at all. So don't try to eat it. If you find one on the ground, you're not going to enjoy it, all right? But it's a cool tree. And he has been studying hedgerows, not just in America, but overseas, and how they've been used historically and how they've been used environmentally. And he's got some important things to say about how we're discarding our past and how our past might have helped us with biodiversity and how we might want to consider renewing the past, that is, in terms of hedgerows, where we grow food to help preserve insects and mammals, small mammals, birds that contribute to pollination and contribute to our health as our own species' health, and doing that by planting hedgerows. So Dave Coulter will be here. And then finally, Kathy McGlynn, who drops by regularly to warn us. You know, speaking of plants that we need, there are plants that we'd like to get rid of. She's with the Northeast Illinois Invasive. Now I'm going to get this wrong. Come on, Mike. Get it together. The Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership, the NIIPP. Get your acronym straight, dude.
It's a mouthful.
It is. And May is Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month, or ISAM, another acronym. There's too many acronyms. But Kathy will be here to tell us what we need to be aware of. And we will welcome her because I love her because she always says, hey, you know, Mike, it's time. We need to mention this. So that's what I do. All right. Coming up in just a second, there are cool plants right in this studio right now, in little containers, ready to be placed outside and grow and provide us with pleasure and food. Now, since most of us try to be polite, if we tell somebody to go away, I suspect then you've been pushed a little too hard. And if deer and rabbits gobble up your prized vegetables and flowers, you're going to want to say go away by reaching for Go Away Deer and Rabbit Repellent. It can help save your flowers, vegetables, shrubs, and trees, including fruit trees, from these nuisance pests. All natural Go Away keeps animals from eating them for up to 45 days. Go Away liquid can be applied directly to vegetables and fruit for protection up to the day you want to harvest them. Go Away granules can be used around all types of gardens to protect against marauding animal pests. Look for Bonides Go away deer and rabbit repellent products at Countryside Flower Shop in Crystal Lake, Kinch Village Florist in Palatine, Mattson Ace Hardware in Coal City, or go to bonide.com to locate a retailer near you.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
Brought to you by ComEd's energy efficiency programs.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it? You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
And I'm happy to have in the studio with me some of you who have been listening to the program for a long time might remember Captain Coleus, and that is Don Choi, who was, are you still Captain Coleus, or have you retired your superhero?
Only at home.
Only. Do you still grow Coleus?
Sure.
You just kind of have an interest in that, huh? Coleus are, they're cool plants. I mean, they are, and they're wonderful substitutes for plants that, well, if you want color in the shade. And I know that Coleus can also be grown in the sun now, and that is one of the great advancements of the last 20 years is Coleus that you can grow in the sun. But for years and years, that was how you got color in the shade. And with the let me ask you a question, because last year we were all supposed to be aware. And by, oh, wait. So let's introduce you formally before we do that. What is your specific? You're now with Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse. What's your title there? What do they call you?
Same title. I'm still a floriculturalist.
Uh-huh.
But I guess you can add to that, I do programming, especially for children. So that's added a whole new hat to my title.
But you've also become the guy who's responsible for the big plant sale.
I am.
Which they have. And that's a huge responsibility. Because,
tremendous.
You know, Kirsten Aker used to come in and talk about that. Is it Kirsten or Kirsten?
Kirsten.
That's what I thought. And now you're doing this. And how many plants have you grown for this sale?
Well, in terms of actual plants, I haven't tallied up yet, but it's certainly in the thousands.
Yeah. So you got thousands of plants, and I'm sure you've got a bunch of volunteers helping you with that.
It would only work with the volunteers.
I'm sorry, what?
It only could work with the
volunteers.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, how would you do this? Because, you know, it's a park district, and people in the neighborhood love the greenhouse. Are you still trying to get the panels replaced?
Yes, that's coming this right after the plant sale.
Really?
Really.
You're finally getting it done?
The alderman has stepped in, and the park district has both have stepped in to help.
Let's give you a ding there. Oh, that's great. So the whole greenhouse, is it going to be?
All three greenhouses will have new roofs.
New roofs. Wow. Because that's been a battle for a long time there.
Battle.
Because those...
fiberglass.
Yes. The panels on the greenhouses now are fiberglass, and they've gotten dull and dingy over time. And now that's just going to change everything in there, isn't it?
100%.
I mean, because you... we have been growing these plants for the plant sale. Let's talk about that real quick. That's next week?
Next weekend.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
And the times?
10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And I've got that on my website along with the other plant sales that I've been talking about. If you go to the homepage, you can click on it and pretty much, yeah, you're at the bottom of that. The Kilbourn Park Organic Garden Plant Sale. From 10 to 2 each day, May 17th and 18th. But the thing about it is these are really reasonably priced, aren't they?
Very reasonably priced.
Like?
$1 to $3. $1, $2, and $3.
Unbelievable.
It is.
All right, so let's get back to what I brought up, was bringing up, is that you've been dealing with the cold weather.
I have.
How has that affected what you're doing there, especially since the greenhouse doesn't, it's still a greenhouse. I mean, even though you have fiberglass roof, but it's a little darker, but it's better than what most people have. Most people have a windowsill, like me, you know, and I'm putting plants out there and trying to get them to grow. I have some indoor lights, but I don't have a greenhouse. How did the weather affect things this year?
Well, for us, it's still primarily a reason of the light. So since we have poor light, I've had to grow a lot of the plants for as long as possible under fluorescent lights. Temperature, these are cast iron radiators. So I can have all the heat I want. So that's not really what I need. I really need coolness. So we have an outdoor unheated hoop house. But before...
I have to stop you there because that's kind of the opposite of what a lot of people would think. Is that you've got more than enough heat here. That's not the issue, obviously.
Okay. Because you want to what's called harden the plants or transition them to being able to be outdoors. So what I did was we have a hoop house outside, which is unheated, but both ends were completely open. So I've kind of closed off the side so that I could still have plants out there, mm-hmm. even if it's close to freezing weather.
Uh-huh.
So that was a real challenge if I had to move the plants back inside.
Yeah, there you go. But moving plants back and forth, obviously, is always an issue.
And luckily, because we sealed them off, I was able to survive not having to haul plants back in.
So you're happy with the crop?
Reasonably, considering it was my first year, very much so.
Yeah. What did I always want to know what people learned. I mean, even floriculturists who have been doing this a long time. What did you learn that you don't think you knew before?
Well, what it really was having to tap into all these years of experience and adapt on a daily basis, whatever I needed to do, whether it was more lights, more food, spacing, heat, everything was changing on a daily basis for me.
Uh-huh.
I just had to keep figuring out new ways to be creative.
Well, for those of you folks who live in the city, and even those of you who don't, who want to come in to Kilbourn Park, it's really worth it.
And I want to mention the address, 3501 North Kilbourn, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Very good. Thanks.
Okay.
See?
Thanks.
Thank you, Carol. Happy Mother's Day, Carol.
That was a caller that reminded us about it.
Yes. So, to give the address.
Yeah.
3501 North Kilbourn. And by the way, all that information is on my website. If you go to MikeNowak.net, MikeNowak.net, and right on the homepage, you will see Lake County Forest Preserve Native Plant Sale, and right under it, it says, and other great plant sales. Click on and other great plant sales, and everything is there, all of them, including the information about the Lake County and Will County sales. And the addresses are there. So in case you're driving and you want to have that information, it's right there on my website, and you can go there. Okay, we don't have a camera. Gosh, I wish we did. So you could see all this cool stuff. Isn't it just lovely, Carol? Just how beautiful and how perfect all these little... You probably picked out the best of the best, Don.
No,
but
no, in between. You
just grab whatever was there. I just grabbed them, threw in them flat. Well, let's start with what you handed over here. You've got this thyme here, and this is for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Orange. I know a lot of you have grown lemon thyme. And it does smell like orange. You have to, Carol, you're going to have to try this because this is, it is orangey. What made you decide to grow the orange thyme?
Well, while researching catalogs for plants to grow for the sale, they said a limit of 1,000 seeds only. So that was my trigger point. I says, well, you're only going to limit me as to how many seeds, and I'm definitely going to buy 1,000 seeds.
What? I'm still not sure I understand that logic.
I mean, pretty much when you buy from a catalog, you can buy as many as you want.
Yeah.
Whether it's 1,000, 2,000, but they said a limit of 1,000 seeds.
So what made that turn into orange oregano?
Well, not orange thyme.
I'm sorry, orange thyme, because I got the oregano here.
The focus for me certainly was to have scented plants, because our programming also includes working with kids. And a simple way to interact with kids is to say, touch this.
Yeah.
Smell this.
Yeah.
So that's what appealed to me. But then being able to buy enough seed that I could at least grow it for the sale, I've said, fine, with 1,000 seeds, I can still grow enough that I can still make a sale out of it.
So is this orange thyme going to be as tough as the lemon thyme?
I do not know.
All right. And that's something you figure out when you grow it, right? All right. The other one you got here is...
Marigold.
Marigold. But this has a particular essence, I guess. And what's that?
This one, they claim from the research, is a substitute for tarragon.
No.
Yep. An herb tarragon.
Now, should I pinch this and get a...
Take a bite.
Oh, okay. Go grab one of these leaves.
It's organic, so...
It's true. Don't panic. It's organic. And that's another point we should make about your garden sale. All the plants are organically grown.
They are.
Mmm. I like that flavor. And it's a, and so it'll, what kind of marigold seed or flower will it produce? You know, you have.
I'm assuming with that small leaf, it's probably going to be a small flower, most likely yellow.
Yeah. Rather than gold or have the red hues or something. And it'll be interesting to see how large this plant gets. But you can use it to cook.
Yes.
With. And so you've got your marigold. I wonder if it'll have the other marigold properties. It's supposed to keep certain insects at bay. Uh-oh, you're reaching for...
Nematode marigold.
Now, see, this one looks more like a standard marigold.
It does.
It's got that fern-like leaf.
Unfortunately, it goes the other extreme. If you leave it untouched, it grows 4 feet tall.
Yikes.
So I would say keep it pruned. Keep it compact.
All right. I will I would do that.
We had a lady as a volunteer who decided to get her PhD in hybridizing tomatoes, and she said one of the issues is nematode problems with tomatoes.
Okay.
So that's what made me research how can I get around that. So that was my crusade for this year. Is everybody plant a nematode repelling marigold with your tomatoes to keep the buggers away.
So we're going to give that a go and see what happens.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, earlier in the year, I had a woman on my show who had a book about heirloom varieties of plants. And you said, I want to borrow that book so that I can get some ideas for the plants I'm going to grow. Did you use
Definitely. And one of the plants is...
And the book was, again...
Heirloom Taste by Doreen Howard.
All right. So, Doreen, if you're listening, I lent my book to Don, and he looked through it, and which plants did you come up with?
Well, the
from
most
that?
Unique one was Clary Baby Cheese Pepper. So it's a small fruit, but it's wheel-shaped, kind of like a wheel of cheese. And it goes from white to orange to red as it matures in color. But it's an heirloom variety, great taste, and I had to research everywhere to find the seed for that.
But you did.
I did.
Well, good for you for tracking it down. So how many of those do you have available?
Just a small quantity because I'm not sure, you know, anyone would know enough to run out and buy that variety, so I didn't get too crazy.
So if others of you are out there are interested in it, it's a really cool book. It's called Heirloom Taste, and it's by Doreen Howard. And one of the ways you can find out information about it, obviously, is go to information from past shows on my website. I think she was on the show in January or February. I think it was January, though. I'll track it down and see exactly when that was. Stick around. Don Choi from Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse. We've got a few more plants. I want to talk to you about that tomato. That is an amazing... Just looking at that plant is cool. We will talk more about the upcoming plant sale next Saturday and Sunday at Kilbourne Park. So stick around for that.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
As I already mentioned, but it always bears repeating, Possibility Place Nursery in Moni is teaming up with another Forest Preserve District for another great native plant sale at the end of May. Now, the Lake County Forest Preserve plant sale is in its final day today from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information at possibilityplace.com or my website, mikenovak.net. But in 3 weeks, the scene moves west, where the Forest Preserve District of Will County presents their Bringing Nature Home Native Plant Sale Saturday, May 31st from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Sugar Creek Administration Center. That's 17540 West Laraway Road in Joliet. There will be vendors, landscaping experts, garden artisans, and free hands-on workshops, and more than 100 species of native perennials, trees, and shrubs. And oh yeah, I'll be there too. And I hope you'll come out and say hi and get some tips on making your garden and your environment a little better. For more information, go to my website, mikenovak.net, or you can go to possibilityplace.com or reconnectwithnature.org. Reconnectwithnature.org or call 815-727-8700. 815-727-8700. The Forest Preserve District of Will County, bringing people and nature together. I guess dog days could refer to really, really cold spring days as well. So that's why I'm playing that. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Glad you're with me on what is a beautiful Sunday morning. Great day for Mother's Day. Don Choi is here in the studio, and he's a floriculturist with a Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse. We're talking about their plant sale next week, and he's got amazing stuff here. And one of the most amazing is this tomato plant that I'm looking at right here. Now, you can't see it. Wish I had color monitors here and TV and all that. But this is like the color of the leaf is almost purple. It's an amazing color. How would you describe this, Don?
Well, what happens is that many types of plants the color of the stem is partly an indicator of what the plant's going to do.
Well, I know, for example, potatoes. The color of the flower tells you what the color of the potato meat will be. And I just learned that last year, and I was amazed. So if you got a yellow flower, you're going to get a yellow potato. You got a white flower, you're going to get a white potato. You got a purple flower, you're going to get a purple potato. So you're saying that the tomato is somewhat the same.
In this particular case, because it's called indigo blueberry, where the cherry-sized tomatoes will be dark, almost like a blueberry.
No.
So that being dark, it's also going to have higher antioxidants as well.
Where did you find this?
Well, that's what research is all about. In order to put my own stamp on this plant sale, I researched dozens of catalogs, hundreds of plants.
Really?
To really fine-tune it.
So how many of these do you have, what do they call it, the indigo blueberry?
Indigo blueberry cherry tomatoes. I'm going to guess I probably have 75, maybe 100.
Going to be 75 to 100 lucky people out there who show up. I guarantee this will go very, very fast. In fact, I can almost guarantee that people are going to start writing me and say, how do I get that? What was that thing? You mean the blueberries, the tomato plant that grows blueberries? But it's not, actually. It's a tomato plant where the cherry tomatoes are dark, dark red, almost like a blueberry.
Yes.
Have you seen photos?
Pictures.
Yes.
They're very attractive.
I can't wait to see that. And he's giving me one of these plants. So I'm going to get to grow this. And this is this is not going in my community garden. I can guarantee it. That's how selfish I am. This is going in my backyard. I'm going to grow this in my backyard. All right. And the other things you have, you got a couple of cucumbers. And
I do.
Different styles of cucumbers. And I know it's early for cucumbers. We should know. And tomatoes.
Yes.
That's, you know, we need to be responsible and tell people, if you buy this next week, chances are you're going to have to keep them in a cold frame or indoors until they're, you know, it's warm enough for us to set.
We call it Memorial Day.
Yeah, we call it Memorial. And because I believe the average frost-free date is like May 15th or something.
Sounds about right.
I think it's about right in the Chicago area. Don't cheat, folks, because you'll pay the price. Unless you can put, you know, and sometimes what folks do is they'll plant the tomato, and because it's small, if there's a frost coming, you can cover it with a pot or something else and protect it that way. But just be careful. But the problem is, if you put out a cucumber, it's already starting to sprawl. You got two different cucumbers here. And what is the difference between the two, Don?
Well, number one, the plant sale started as organic and as heirloom type plants as possible. So the true lemon variety is an heirloom variety of cucumber. And the shape of the fruit is like a lemon and turns yellow like a lemon.
Okay. But it's a cucumber.
And it grows normal way, which is sprawling.
And that's the one on the left here.
Correct.
It's already, believe me, it's already got a tendril out there. It's starting to wrap around the computer. I will not be able to. It's going to end up growing here in the studio is probably what's going to happen. And then the other one is more compact.
Very much so.
And what kind is that?
This one, I believe, is called Bushy. Yes,
well,
Bushy.
That makes sense. And the idea is this for people with more limited space?
Most of us in Chicago have to limit how many vegetables we can grow or flowers because they get so large. So my focus for this year was to grow as many compact dwarf variety of fruits and vegetables as possible.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any other examples there?
Well, for me, there's Titan, which is...
Okay, Titan is a parsley,
which is compact. And of course, we have Sugar Baby watermelon.
Oh, you know, I would love to grow watermelon. We try in the community garden, but anything that's like a melon or a pumpkin is just going to get stolen in our community garden. So I suppose I could, I don't think I have enough light in my yard for that.
Well, what's going to be unique is that this year, out of all the research for tomatoes, there's one it claims will tolerate limited sunshine. So I'm really curious.
Tomatoes?
A tomato.
Which one is that?
I'm not going to tell because you'll have to either come or look online for our plant list.
Whoa!
Because I only grew a handful of them because I didn't want to grow a lot because I didn't want to be stuck with too many of them.
I get it. And so I just clicked on kilbornpark.org, and it's KILBOURN kilbornpark.org. There's no E on the end of Kilbourne. Have you got the, I'm looking for
I don't think it is, but what they can do is if they will email me directly at the Park District, I'll make sure that I forward them a list because I think the people putting this on may be having their wedding this weekend, so they may be a little bit slow in putting it up there for us.
Ah, so if you want the tomato that allegedly, because we don't know how well, we're, and it's another thing you researched.
I did.
It grows in partial shade.
Limited sunshine.
Limited sunshine. And how big are the fruits?
I think it's probably salad size, so maybe 4 ounces.
So it's not a big beefsteak, and it's not a cherry. It's somewhere in between. I grew boxcar willies last year, and they were wonderful. And they were sort of those medium-sized tomatoes. Okay, where do people write you, Don?
So my email at the Park District is donald.choy, C-H-O-Y, at chicagoparkdistrict.com.
I'm writing this down, chicagoparkdistrict.com. It's Donald.Choy, C-H-O-Y, at chicagoparkdistrict.com. What's the name of that tomato?
Not telling you.
Oh!
Remember?
So
you have to look it up. There will be descriptions on the plant list.
So, and they're going to have to figure it out?
Either that or ask when
you're
there.
You're really being cautious about this
well,
one.
Well, I don't want it to sell out in 2 minutes.
That's true, because people will. If folks who live in the city, they are sun-challenged often. And
plus the fact,
and I really think that the one that's going to sell out though is the indigo blueberry.
I have more faith in that one because of the color picture. The other one, it's like there are roses they claim will grow in limited sunshine. It's like maybe
they don't.
Here.
Yeah, they claim. Hey, look, they claim that endless summer would work forever and produce blue hydrangeas in our area in. And you've got a big one?
I couldn't believe how huge it got.
Well, see?
Eight plants.
Is this the earliest variety of it, or is this a new improved variety?
This was the original.
Wow.
In the summer.
I did not have success. But, see?
But I have full sun.
And that's what they need, is full sun.
Well, I'm saying that it grew big with full sun, but because of full sun, I had to water it on a regular basis. Because those leaves...
Because do they still droop on you if it's a...
When it's complete heat out there and sun, yes, they will droop.
All right, that's Don Choi. He's with the Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse. Their sales next week, Saturday, May 17th and 18th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. each day. Go to kilbornpark.org or go to my website. Give me some hits. Google likes those metrics, and I like them when Google sends me those metrics. That's at mikenovak.net. Go to the homepage. By the way, it's MIKENOWAK in case you get confused. And look right at the top of the homepage. You've got the and other great plant sales. Just click right on that, and you'll have more information. Don, I know it's going to be a huge success.
Thank you.
And I hope a ton of folks come on out there and support that. And good luck and congratulations on getting the new glass panes.
Thank you.
In the greenhouse. That's going to be wonderful. Now, here's a quick fertilizer primer. And it is pronounced primer, not primer. Ron Cowgill would tell you the primer is what you put on your walls when you're painting. Oh, wait a second. Before I finish I have to play this.
In the Green Room.
You dig.
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com. Right in your own backyard.
Okay, now we can do our fertilizer primer courtesy of Milorganite. Milorganite contains 5% organic nitrogen, 2% phosphorus, and 4% iron. Over 60% of the nitrogen in Milorganite is water insoluble and is delivered to the roots via microbial activity. You want your microbes active. Microbial activity occurs when soil moisture is adequate and soil temperatures are between 55 degrees and 85 degrees Fahrenheit. When these conditions are favorable, the microbes break down the Milorganite granule into a plant-available form, and the nutrients are then taken up by the roots. When conditions are not favorable, Milorganite's nutrients stay in the soil until conditions are right for root uptake. Go natural. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to IllinoisSolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
What do you think of when you hear the word nuisance? Besides your brother-in-law. Deer, maybe? Rabbits? If your yard and landscape are being destroyed by nuisance animal pests, Bonide has a product to solve the problem. Repels All is an all-natural repellent that works against deer, rabbits, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, raccoons, and many other nuisance animals, and it stays effective for up to 2 months. The all-natural ingredients in Repels All you smell, taste, and irritation to keep animals away. Unlike other repellents, Repels All has no unpleasant odor, for human beings anyway. Repels All natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also prevents animals from chewing on fences and structures. Repels All is so effective that your satisfaction is guaranteed. It's available in concentrate, ready to use, and ready to spray liquid formulations, and in easy to use granules in a 3-pound shaker and 6-pound bag for spreader applications. Look for Repels All products at these fine stores: Knoop Nursery in Palatine, Prozac Garden Center in Winfield, and Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais and Kankakee. Or visit Bonide.com, Bonide.com, to locate a retailer near you. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We go to the phones. We bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Ricky D?
I'm doing fine, Mike. Happy Mother's Day. Are there any close mothers to you that that you made a phone call this morning to, or
nope,
people that you know?
Nope. As I mentioned earlier, not much connection to that anymore for me. So.
Well, I had to ask. I didn't know that.
You know, but today's the day I might go out and, you know, maybe I'll plant something in honor of Mother's Day.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, fortunately for me, my mom just turned 79 the other day, and she always gets cheated this time of year because her birthday is right around the same time as Mother's Day. So.
Ah.
So she's like, so which gift is for what?
or is this a double gift?
It's like, should I do lunch for the birthday and then dinner, you know, certificate for the Mother's Day? I don't know. It all becomes one after a while. But other than that, happy spring, right? All of a sudden, spring has sprung with the capital S.
Oh, my goodness. My crab apple in the backyard is popping right now, even as we speak. It's just opening up into full bloom. And when I think that 2 years ago, it did that in March.
Yeah, like probably late March, early April. I know. And then even though this year, you would say it's about a week late, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I would say things are late. So here we are, almost the middle of the month, some things that my cornice mast just stopped blooming. The crab apple's blooming. Some things are coming up on schedule, and others a lot of stuff is late.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is late, and that's obviously due to the cold ground temperature that we had prior to this week. And what an amazing run we made at temperatures. And it was kind of interesting when the president's report on climate assessment distributed and issued to the media on Monday morning, we were at the brink of, you know, having 2 or 3 days where the temperature fluctuated between, you know, 42 degrees along the lakefront and then 92 degrees at Midway Airport in just a matter of 24 hours. And, you know, a clear indication of how, you know, day-to-day weather conditions are influenced by, you know, medium and short, you know, range climate situations, considering that we still had up until yesterday 15% of the Great Lakes, particularly Lake Superior, covered with ice, and almost 90% of parts of northern Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and even New Mexico under exceptional drought. And in, literally in between that region, you know, where northern Illinois is, we've had these massive fluctuations, particularly to the south of us, I should say, of, you know, having very, very cold lake winds. And then, you know, the hot temperatures on Thursday, actually Wednesday and Thursday. And it was kind of interesting, Mike, because Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we had 3 consecutive days where the temperatures hit in the 100s across that area of Texas, Oklahoma, exactly where the extreme drought has taken place. We've never seen readings that warm this early. And that was the exact area where the wind basically blew straight from the southwest to the northeast and reached northern Illinois on Wednesday and Thursday. And even though here in Chicago we only made it into the upper 70s before the lake breeze, you know, cooled things off, southwest suburbs hit 90 degrees Wednesday, and then downtown Chicago, both Midway and the lakefront, hit 92 on Thursday. And you're walking around going, where did this come from? And you have to point to the fact that it came from the Central Plains. And then where did it come from on Wednesday? You have to point to the fact that it came from the Great Lakes. So from a meteorological standpoint, it was interesting to have those things happen right in front of us right during that time, which really, I think, laid a lot of you know, confidence down for the report that the Obama administration issued, which was we're considering – or where we continue to see these extreme changes, these rapid fluctuations in weather, and sometimes they could be benign, sometimes they could, you know, kind of come and go. But we know that when everything kind of comes together, you can end up having natural disasters turn into ecological catastrophes. And they basically said, we're here to protect the citizens of the United States and the farm growers of the United States, the farmers of the United States, and to protect the people who will be impacted by this. And that's not a political statement. That's the government doing their job. And hats off to them for producing that piece of material, which was headed by a climate scientist, a female from West Texas. So from a political standpoint, he did the right thing in many ways.
Oh, yeah. I love the idea that he's just, okay, you're not going to do it. I'll do it. I'll make a proclamation. I'll do whatever I can from the administrative side of things. And you know, Congress continues to look impotent and stupid, certainly in this regard, because we know how dire this is. I mean, the idea that, Rick, as you point out, that we have 15% of the Great Lakes still covered by ice, and it's 100 degrees in Oklahoma City for 3 days. That's a setup for, you know, you get the right front coming through for a catastrophic weather event, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at what's going on right now in the state of Colorado, the storm system that's going to eventually produce thunderstorms here in Illinois that could be severe. This immense clash of air masses over Colorado, parts of southern Wyoming, is producing 8 to 14 inches of snow in the Denver area, beginning later on this morning and up to 2 feet in the mountains. And one of the interesting things that I was reading out there is that they're most concerned about a lot of the trees that have flowered, that have already bloomed, because they've had already readings well into the 80s. And now they're worried about some of these trees obviously taking the brunt of the heavy, wet snow and then literally taking down power lines. So this is not just a normal snow. This is a heavy, wet snow. Here it is, Mother's Day, and you're getting 2 feet of snow in the foothills and the mountains. And I wouldn't be surprised by this time tomorrow morning you're hearing about, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe not hundreds of thousands, probably tens of thousands of people in the Colorado foothills area and in the Denver proper area without power because the trees have bloomed out early because it's been so warm and dry in some areas, and now you're getting heavy, wet snow. So you can't deny the fact that these changes are occurring and they're extreme, And the fact that the government is going beyond what they should be doing and saying, oh, let's recognize these. We know that we probably can't fix the overall problem quickly, but at least we're recognizing that they're there and we're going to make efforts to help people in the short term to get through them. And that's, again, that's not something that says, you know, well, we're killing jobs by taking the interest of trying to grow the economy from this other standpoint. No, this is protecting the economy. And I don't know why the other side can't see it that way. It's very frustrating. And the thing about it is the students, if you are listening, this is science right in front of you. And if the wall is white, you can't tell me that the wall is not white. And that's basically it. It's very, very plain and simple.
So if there's snow in Denver, what about Chicago in the next week?
Well, you know what? It's amazing because the pattern that looked like it was going to be a little bit more progressive and somewhat cooler has actually slowed down a little bit. So good-looking start to the day, maybe kind of a wet finish. So bottom line, made it into the upper 70s yesterday, probably lower 80s today. We got a decent amount of rain over the week, so things from a standpoint of moisture in the ground has helped out really, really well. About an inch and a half of rain fell across the area between Thursday night and Friday. We could see another half inch to an inch of rain late tonight and tomorrow. Slight risk of severe storms, but the worst of it should be over parts of Iowa and Minnesota tonight. By the time it gets here, it'll probably fizzle out. But we can see another inch and a half of rain between late this afternoon and tomorrow morning. So low 80s today, probably low 80s tomorrow. And then as the front comes through, back to cooler weather for Tuesday and Wednesday. And even though long term things look to be cooler, every time we get to about day three or day four, it backs off a little bit. So your typical up and down weather pattern as you normally get in the middle of spring. But one thing I don't see, Mike, is any really long-term drying, a long-term wetness, a long-term cold, a long-term warm. A lot of variability over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And did you get out the thing you were telling Carol you wanted to mention? Do you remember what it was? Yeah, we talked about it. Okay.
Yeah. We were talking about, you know, how the report, the climate assessment report that came out Monday, came out at a good time. And just looking at the fact that the current situation kind of points to all those different things that were in the report, it's kind of nice to have science in the short term back up a talk in a paper that's really talking about long-term issues.
All right, Rick DeMaio, thank you so much. Enjoy the beautiful Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to you, and tell your mom happy Mother's Day for me.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Second hour of the show, Dave Coulter on the importance of hedgerows. You might not even know what a hedgerow is, but I hope you'll stick around because this may be a way to preserve some biodiversity in our environment.
Of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak. There's time to change it.
Since the return of a stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June.
I am getting all kinds of cool stuff here on this Sunday morning. Carol, look at this. Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea.
I do. I mean, I did, even before you handed it to me. So Dave Coulter is here.
I'm sure they're not cigars.
nope. It's a beehive, in a sense. It's not really a hive. It's a nest. For native bees. Now, mason bees would take advantage of this, wouldn't they?
I think so. I'm not the world's authority on that. So that's why I gave you that little handout there to tell you a little more about that. But I made about 7 of them over the winter, and I thought you should have one, Mike, because you're the biggest advocate for pollinators I know on the radio.
It's the pollination show here. Well, I am, you know. I'll tell you, for me in the spring, the spring has officially arrived when I see the first lumbering bumblebee. That's my backyard, and it's going do-de-do-de-do. I love bumblebees. Do-de-do-de-do.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They are. They are pretty amazing. And I'm going to put this in my yard, this nest, because I've been thinking of making one myself. I was going to make mine with, you know, what you do is you take a hollowed out.
Well, that's bamboo. Like I say, a buddy of mine over in Oak Park has a surplus of bamboo from his garden, and I just got a bundle of it back in February.
And it's invading the neighbor's yard now, too, right?
I think he's
keeping
it in
with
check.
Bamboo. But I was thinking of using that. Now, it wouldn't be as permanent as bamboo, but I was thinking of using cup plant stems.
Yeah, I've heard of that. And I was wondering about using those coat hangers you get from the cleaners, those cardboard tubes. But I wonder if there's I'm not sure about cardboard and how environmentally benign it is for bees. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about that, you know, those little cardboard tubes on the bottom of the hangers.
And it talks about the different kinds of bees, this little handout.
Yeah.
Where did you get this from?
That's from the Xerces Society.
You know, I'm going to have them on the show.
Yeah, you should.
I think...
That's an amazing website. They're out of Oregon.
Uh-huh. And I know that there's a conference coming up soon that the Chicago Botanic Garden is doing. Whoops.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want to do that. Okay, we'll put that... I'll have to figure out where that goes back on. Ooh, I think I snapped it. Oh, well. I'm going to have somebody from the Xerces Society on when they... And I think that this is in June, so I'm really looking forward to that. You have information about wood nesting and cavity nesting bees, ground nesting bees, bumblebees... My buddy's the bumblebees.
Sure, exactly.
On this thing. And so
well, I hope you enjoy that.
I will hang this up in my yard, and I can't wait to see.
Good
what,
luck. Good
well,
luck.
Yeah. You know, we'll see
good
what
luck.
Happens. See if they come by. That is Dave Coulter, who is with Osage Inc. If you want more information on that, you can go to osagegroup.com. Before we get to you, I want to call attention to something else because I got a message here from Tom Shepard at the Southeast Environmental Task Force.
Tom.
Do you know Tom?
I do.
He's a great guy.
Sure
and
is.
And they do fabulous work. And, you know, what they've been doing there is – I see what happened here. It's off kilter here.
You know, it's my luck your microphone breaks. So.
No, the microphone's working just fine. it's the screen that's not such a in such good shape at the moment. But he sent me a note. He says that there will be a national day of action on Saturday, May 17th, to protest the Keystone XL pipeline. And it'll be from 1 o'clock p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Sierra Club has called for a national day of action. A network of organizations throughout Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana are joining forces to rally at BP Whiting to say no to Keystone and no to the tar sands projects that affect the air and water in this region. And you can join them at 1 p.m. Saturday, May 17th. You can do that. What we'll do, Carol, have you seen this thing that Tom, the message that came in on Facebook? And if you haven't, go to the messages there and let's get that link up on my Facebook page. And it's actionnetwork.org events Chicago Day of Action. But I want folks to be able to link to that. And then the other thing he sent was something going on tomorrow. And this is about the Petcoke fight here in Chicago. And I have to say a couple of things. And I want to have Tom on the show to talk about this some more, and maybe some other folks. And City Council had this vote in committee the other week about the Petcoke and what they're going to do with it. And what they voted on is a sham and an embarrassment. But, you know, it's not the first time City Council has been embarrassing. And the idea that they won't even step up and protect their own citizens is criminal. You folks should be ashamed of yourselves. The idea that we will still allow Petcoke, we'll give these guys a couple of years to comply. You know, nothing's going to happen. And meanwhile, kids and adults are sucking this stuff into their lungs because it blows over the river. You're going to see little to no attempt by the companies to really monitor it and regulate it. And the fact that you're so ineffectual just shows that you are tools of the industry, that you cannot protect your own citizens. And I'm talking to you, the City Council of Chicago. It's embarrassing, really, just embarrassing. So it turns out that, of course, people like the folks at the Southeast Environmental Task Force have to keep fighting to do this. And so there's going to be a tour on Monday, May 12th, tomorrow, 9 a.m. Bus will depart from Wolf Park at 3325 East 108th Street. This is being put on by National Nurses United. There will be a press conference at City Hall at noon. If you're interested in being part of this, individuals and organizations interested in participating in the delegation touring the Petcoke sites, and that's what they will do. They will tour the Petcoke sites. Please contact Sheila Garland at sgarland@nationalnursesunited.org. sgarland@nationalnursesunited.org or phone 312-491-4915. And they're going to do a tour and then a press conference about this. There is a quote here from Olga Bautista, resident and organizer with Southeast Side Coalition to Ban Petcoke. Quote, "We can no longer wait for Rahm Emanuel in the Chicago City Council to work out a deal with the Koch brothers. We need a moratorium on Petcoke now." And that is the truth. And yet, you know, and while I was railing at City Council, I guess I have to throw Rahm Emanuel in on that, too. He loves to take credit for shutting down the coal plants in Chicago. Yeah, great thing. Now get rid of the Petcoke. Don't regulate it. Get it out of there. Do you care about the city? Hey, dude, there's an election coming up in 2015. All right. Just thought I'd mention that. Thanks, Tom Shepard, for sending that stuff to me. As I mentioned in the studio, Dave Coulter, and when you ran into me at the Good Food Festival,
right,
and that's where this came about, the idea that you'd be on the show. The minute you brought it up, I thought, this is really interesting stuff.
It is.
And it's something you've been researching, what 20 years or so?
Oh, no, I wouldn't go quite that far, but this is one of these topics that, I'm a small businessman. I'm also an adjunct instructor over at Triton College, so I wear a number of different hats. So this interest in American hedgerows really started about, close to 10 years ago. And it really came about after I was at a conference in England for ecological restoration. And, you know, you go to England and hedgerows over there are maintained much like the Nature Conservancy maintains prairies and wetlands over here in the United States. And it was really a remark. It was eye-opening for me because now, you know, these features, Mike, are something that humans planted. Human beings planted these things. They're basically utilitarian kinds of structures in agriculture. They're basically like fences, farm boundaries. Mm-hmm. And over the centuries and the millennia, in many places in the world, they have now become harbors of biodiversity in areas that are otherwise pretty degraded. So what happened in my case, when I was in England, I recalled the hedgerows that we see. If you travel south of the city throughout the Midwest, you go through the corn and soybean deserts, you know, in our state and adjacent states. And, you know, there's not much biodiversity left in these places. So I guess I saw these features and kind of applied them to our life here in the Midwest. And that's what got me thinking. And if you think of my business name, Osage orange trees were hedgerow materials that were planted here in the 19th century.
Right, right. Did you call yourself that before you started studying?
Yeah. Actually, I did, because I grew up next to a row of these things out in the south suburbs. So, and when I was a little kid, you know, we weren't really that into trees. We would take the monkey balls, we called them, and we'd throw them at each other. You know,
monkey brains. I always call them monkey brains.
That might be a North Side thing, but anyway, you know, so that's where it started. I mean, I actually grew up next to one of them. When I picked a name for my business, I wanted to do something that was kind of related to forestry and something that were related to my own past. So I guess the monkey brain doesn't fall too far from the tree.
And just wait. Before we do that, I want to get to this, but Fran called regarding the mason bee nest.
Yes.
Fran, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Number one, city council and most politicians, they're not tools. They are whores for power.
Okay. See, I was being nice, huh? Okay. I was cutting them some slack. Nice.
Number two, on the mason bee hives, another readily available source of material is Phragmites australis. It's a grass that's Eurasian and terribly invasive, and
right.
It'd be killing two birds with one stone if we got rid of it. You can take the dried stems of those babies, as long as you include a node at one end, so it's closed off at one end, and you can cut them off. Bee people know how to do this, you know, nature types and whatnot. They know how to do this. But Phragmites australis is another readily available source. You put a little primitive roof over the top of it, and you're cooking. I had them move into these stems within a few days. I was just amazed. It was the first time I'd ever experimented with that sort of thing. So on to point number three. For about over 20 years now, I've been, as I told you a couple of years ago, I've been growing my own prairies and wetlands and woodlands on 10 acres that I bought south of here. And the hedgerow that I've built, this fellow, what is his name again? I'm sorry.
Dave Coulter.
Coulter.
C-O-U-L-T-E-R. Dave.
Yeah. Interesting name. Anyway, he would really like seeing my hedgerow. I've got everything in it, from a couple remnant Osage oranges to viburnums and crab apples and wild plums and you name it. I'm in a desert of soybean and corn, and it is like a magnet for wildlife. It's just alive.
So you're saying that
excellent.
You can use it sounds like you can use just about anything to create one of those mason bee habitats. You were using Phragmites, huh?
Phragmites, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just finally we found a use for Phragmites, other than have it taking over the world. Yes. Great. Well, Fran, thank you so much. I appreciate the insight.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. You have a great day. By the way, if you want to comment, 773-763-9278. We're with Dave Coulter, as I mentioned, from Osage Inc., and we're talking about hedgerows. Maybe we should, for urban people.
Mm-hmm.
They might not understand what a hedgerow is.
Well, that's true, especially, you know, a lot of us of a certain age, you know, we'll hear the word hedgerow and we think of Led Zeppelin lyrics. You know, it's a word that's not really familiar to a lot of Americans, and, you know, for good reason. Our history isn't quite the same as it is in Europe and places like that. So, you know, in urban areas, I think the thing that's exciting is when I think about this, you know, we all know farm country and we can make that leap, you know, making field boundaries. And your caller had an excellent point. I mean, he's using plant materials, you know, crab apples, viburnums, native plant materials. That's kind of the key thing here that we want to think about if we're going to reinvent these things. In urban areas, I don't see why these can't be used. We've got think of all the different linear areas we have in this town. Expressways, rivers, by community gardens, you name it. There's all kinds of opportunities for replanting.
Traditionally, a hedgerow was planted to keep livestock in place.
Correct.
So you that's why you had things like Osage Orange in the United States.
Exactly.
Once settlers here discovered Osage Orange, it was like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Sure.
Although sliced bread didn't come till the 21st or 20th century. They took it native to areas around Oklahoma, mm-hmm. you know, Texas Panhandle, around there. But then folks got a hold of it, and they took it all over the country. And we have them in Illinois.
Right.
And as we mentioned, the fruit looks like monkey brains or monkey balls or whatever you want to call them.
Well, one of the things that
And the wood is very, very hard.
Exactly. It's a really interesting plant. And one of the things that I've been over the years, I've been reading about this is really the key to, I think, maintaining these things and upgrading them. I think there's terrific potential for biodiversity if we're going to include native plants in repurposing these things. Again, these features were not originally installed with the idea of biodiversity, you know, 400 or 500 years ago.
Nor were they installed with the idea of using native plants.
Right, exactly.
And that's part of the argument against them. Some folks will say, well, this is not native plant material. Osage might be native, but it's not necessarily native to the East Coast or the West Coast.
Exactly. And that's one of the problem. That's one of the problems I think people, you know, a potential land manager might think about, too, is keeping them free of invasive species. That's one of the topics and your next guest will be talking about that, too. Invasive species is that's not just a problem in hedgerows. That's a problem in our woods, our fields, our cities, everywhere, invasive species. And really, these features are no different.
Yet these hedgerows, even with non-native plants in them, turned out to be a haven for biology.
Exactly.
Insects, birds,
exactly.
Mammals.
Yeah, one of the things I think you and I were talking about down at the Good Food Conference was, there's a study I read from England where they studied one hedgerow over in southwest England, and they trapped something like 1,500 different insect species out of this one hedgerow. Now, that's pretty amazing stuff, and you listen to people smarter than I am, like E.O. Wilson, and he's always talking about biodiversity and looking after the smallest of creatures in our society. So, I think there's great potential for insects, birds, small mammals. But again, it's not just the kind of thing you can just plunk any old plant in the ground. I mean, I think there's, some thought needs to go into with native plants and things like that.
So you're saying perhaps we have an opportunity to create a new kind of hedgerow?
Exactly. I would call
hedgerows for the 21st century.
I call it the postmodern hedgerow myself.
Postmodern hedgerow.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. We're at a place, especially in America, as you say, in England, they revere these and they're protecting them. And
to a point, I mean, it's a battle everywhere. I mean, it's not like they're.
But we're worse here, right?
Well, our history's different. You know.
But they are being torn down because people look at them. First of all, I would imagine that you almost need a historian to determine whether a grove is an old hedgerow or not.
Exactly.
I mean, how do you know where it came from unless you've got the history of it?
Right. Land use records, that sort of things. One of my friends up at Lake County Forest Preserves is doing research on that very thing from hedgerows that were planted, I think, in the 1930s. So he's looking at it from a cultural standpoint. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's one of the things that interests me, and I would suspect interests you and your audience too, is, there's so many things that intersect here. You know, it's not just history and ecology and agriculture, it's biodiversity, it's environment, it's pollinators. You know, the thing, Mike, is when I started, thinking about this a few years ago, nobody was talking about pollinators. 5-10 years ago. Now this has become a really critical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's research that's out there where they've studied these repurposed hedgerows and how they are really successful for pollinators, never mind any other species of wildlife. So I think there's an opportunity there for society to examine these things.
Well, what would you put in your post?
If I was king?
Yeah, what kind of hedgerow would you have?
Well, you know, I would go
with... would you go with Osage?
When
would
I was... Well, yeah, because I'm sentimental, but you know, if I was unlimited by time, space, and money, I would do a mixture of native woody plants. You know, when we were down at the Good Food Conference, Possibility Place, as you know, I had to give a talk there about permaculture and woody food plants. There's a lot of interest with hedgerows with woody food plants, so maybe things like serviceberry, maybe things like viburnums, maybe things like aronia. You could put herbaceous plants in.
And the thing is, we don't have to, you're not going to use it as a barrier for cattle anymore.
Exactly.
And livestock.
Right, right. Those days are gone. So I think one of the interesting things is, you know, is there a possibility in these margins, not just in farm country, but in the city too, for food? You know, blackberries, you name it. I mean, there's a great...
Here's the problem. As you've pointed out in the material you sent me, and you can read it at my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show and see some of the stuff. In fact, Dave wrote a paper on this. You're still trying to get your master's?
Yeah. That's another one of the... I'm a graduate student, Miami University and Brookfield Zoo, their AIP program. And that's given me a... Actually, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, to be at this point in my life and... You know how it is. You still like to learn.
Yeah.
You know,
I learn something every week here.
We're always learning. So,
And what's changed is that we use fencing.
Exactly.
And the other thing that's changed are the subsidies for the row crops. And I've talked about that on this show before, and I've had people talk. I've had farmers call me. And in fact, if there are any farmers listening that have hedgerows and can talk about their experience, would love to hear about it, 773-763-9278. But the point is, when I talk to people, I find out that everybody's trying to squeeze the last dime out of their land, and these hedgerows go so that you can put in a few more or a bushel of corn.
But let me give you one counterbalance to that the Leopold Center out at Iowa State University, they're doing research on these. They call them prairie strips. Now, these are not woody plants. These are herbaceous plants, you know, native plants that we all, are becoming familiar with. And what they're doing is they're interplanting these rows. They're finding, because they got to bring the pollinators back in. You know, it's like it's like society goes full circle with these things. We'll drain a wetland, then we'll have to rebuild it, because we realize that we need them. And I'm starting to wonder if, again, these utilitarian features that became something good kind of by accident, again, if we're not missing an opportunity to make some improvements in a world where really biodiversity is on the run. So, again, these things cost money and time and labor and everything else. And I, the farm people I've spoken to, which... I've gotten both sides of this. You know, I know some farm people say, like, they don't want to deal with these things and they want to maximize the value of their land. But then on the other hand, there are farmers that are like, well, yeah, but these pollinators and these creatures need a place to live too. So what's the balance?
Well, I think the balance is you got to have some of this.
I agree.
I mean, that's the nature of balance. If you take it all away for the row crops, there's no balance. We've lost the balance. And that's the part of the problem, is that we have lost too much of this. And as you've pointed out, again, in the materials you sent me, most of the time when you lose a natural area, you don't get it back.
Not in this world. we're our population's growing by the day, and it's a fight to it's a fight to hold on to anything that we like.
Mm-hmm.
So
the idea is, don't lose them. Yeah, you were investigating a couple of hedgerows near Chicago, and you said one in 2008 was torn down for a... It's not just farmland. It's for a shopping center.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, all right, so now we got asphalt instead.
Exactly.
So it's not just that we're putting in row crops. We're also putting in shopping centers. And
that's a fact.
Not a lot of diversity there.
No, No. So, and I think, and I hope this topic, I know it's interesting to me, but I'll admit I'm an eccentric, but you know, I'm hoping that, you know, folks out in your audience, you know, can, see some value in ideas like this. And, I think it's got some application somewhere. I mean, that's what horticulture is. You know, it's people and plants and nature, you know, and, you know, let's try and do something
well,
here.
It just makes so much sense. That's why I responded to it, because here the idea that we have a haven, even a tiny haven, because a hedgerow is not very wide. How many meters wide?
Well, it depends.
It depends. Yeah.
If you go in England, I saw them actually narrower than your desk here.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones I recall out that I think we talked about out there near Bolingbrook that are gone now, those were probably about 40 feet across.
Mm-hmm. Which is not very big.
No.
But the idea that it tells you something about nature, that you got a thing that's 40 feet across, and then it's harboring like 1,500 species of insect because they're desperate to find some place, some haven.
Mm-hmm. And birds.
And birds.
And birds.
And mammals.
The birds that eat the insects. You know,
right.
I mean, right now we're in migratory bird season. You know, last night we were sitting out back watching the warblers picking the bugs off the trees. Well, you know, those birds need a place to eat too. So it's all, you know, it's all linked together.
That is Dave Coulter, and he is with Osage Inc. The Osage, if you want to go to the website, it's osagegroup.com. You know, I got a break here, but one of the things that we mentioned was the iconic nature of Osage oranges. And let's not forget that several years ago, I was helping Guy Sternberg try to preserve the Osage orange in Kewaunee, which they did. And then they had the tour de trees.
Guy's a bicycle tree guy.
He is just amazing.
Yeah,
I got to have him back on the show. You know, he also has the lowest voice of he's the radio guy. But that tree got saved, and it's right on the main drag in Kewaunee. And what had happened over the years is let's pave, we'll hope, you know. And then suddenly Guy goes, you know, this was a historic tree. This is part of probably was a hedgerow. Tree. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's left is this tree that it's got the sidewalk encroaching on it and the street encroaching on it and the curb and everything and lawn and, you know, all the chemicals that go with lawn and all that. And here's this tree and all it's doing is surviving. And then I watched after everybody went and the tour de trees, we stopped there, photo op, guys climbed the, they rappelled up the tree and came down and then rode off. And then Guy Milieu, arborist extraordinaire, also was there. I came back later, and there he was all by himself pruning the tree. You know, it's like, let's get the work done.
Sure.
And the idea was they were pruning it to make it safer because the city council was going to just take it down.
Mm-hmm.
And they made this, they decided on a Friday or something like that, we're going to take this down. And Guy got wind of it, and he's trying to get a hold of people over the weekend and go, wait, well, you can't, you, what?
Yeah,
you can't do this.
Well, those trees are part of our legacy. I mean, you know, it's one thing for me to talk about, you know, hedgerows in England and places like that where they can be hundreds or maybe even thousands of years old. But, you know, this is our legacy, too. You know, and our legacy isn't quite that ancient, but it's important to us. And I think, you know, this is something for everybody to be aware of and to value.
And there's an Osage orange in my neighborhood in Logan Square on the Parkway. And I love it because every year in the fall, it drops those Osage oranges and they're all over the street and all over.
Do you think it's part of an old hedgerow or just came in?
I doubt it. I got a feeling somebody threw that in there.
A squirrel brought it in.
As a practical joke, maybe. I don't know. But because it's right, that's the other thing. It's right next to the road.
Sure.
That's where they end up, I guess. But there it is, and it reminds me that this is a tree with a great tradition.
Yeah.
And something I learned researching this, it's the only, what was it, the only genus, is it the tree genus that has one species? It's maybe not the only one. But
that might be ginkgo. It's in the mulberry family.
Yeah, it's in the mulberry family, but I was reading about this.
But no, I think you're right about the genus part of it. I think you're right.
It may not be the only one, but it is a genus.
It's Maclura pomifera, and I'm not sure that there's another Maclura out there. So you might be right on that one.
I think that's what I read. But, yeah. All right. That is Dave Coulter.
We could go on and on about this, you know.
We probably will. 773-763-9278. We'll be right back to this. Now, I didn't ever think I would say this, but I want you to think like water. No, that's really a good thing, especially when it comes to using chemicals in your garden. There is a terrific story in the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine that talks about the way to do that safely, whether it's insecticides, herbicides, fungicides, or even fertilizer. But to get back to water, the problem with those products is that most of them are going to end up moving to a body of water, whether it's a stream, a river, a lake, or an aquifer. And if you assume that because a chemical is more or less benign on land, it will behave the same way in water, think again. One more thing that the article advises is to know when and if you need to apply a chemical. Having a dandelion in your lawn doesn't mean you need to buy weed and feed. Then there's my column on the inside back page. You can use all the chemicals you want on it, but it keeps coming back. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at locations all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
Brought to you by ComEd's energy efficiency programs.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Julie Rizzo is a woman on a mission. That's to put herself out of business. She said that on this very program earlier this year. But it makes sense when you realize that her company, Recycled Granite, is all about saving millions of pounds of scrap granite from going into landfills. Someday, she hopes that her company isn't necessary. But in the meantime, she's creating affordable, recycled granite, landscaping pavers, split stone backsplash tiles, mosaics, and aggregates from beautiful, durable countertop material that otherwise would have been thrown away. Not only that, but recycled granite is creating true green U.S. jobs. No greenwashing in this company. Not only that, but Recycled Granite has created something called the Green Abilities Program, where individuals with disabilities are certified as Recycled Granite Artisan Apprentices, and they learn how to specifically work with recycled granite waste. Go to recycledgranite.com to find granite products for your home or project, or call 800-692-4642. 800-692-4642.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to IllinoisSolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
Huh? Oh, I often advise folks to plant native plants in their yards, but they often wonder where they can get them. Wonder no longer, gentle listeners. If you've been paying attention, you know that Possibility Place Nursery in Moni is working with the Forest Preserve districts of both Lake and Will counties on a couple of great plant sales. The Lake County event ends today at 3 p.m., so you'd better get going. But the Forest Preserve district of Will County presents their Bringing Nature Home native plant sale on Saturday, May 31st from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Sugar Creek Administration Center. That's 17540 West Laraway Road in Joliet. There will be vendors, landscaping experts, garden artisans, and free hands-on workshops, and more than 100 species of native perennials, shrubs, and trees. And me too. I'll be there Saturday morning. So I hope you will stop by. Now you have no excuses for not getting those native plants in your garden. For more information, you can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, or you can go to PossibilityPlace.com, or ReconnectWithNature.org, or, I'm giving you all these alternatives, you gotta choose one of them, 815-727-8700, 815-727-8700, the Forest Preserve District of Will County, bringing people and nature together.
I am the morning DJ at WOLD. Playing all the hits for you, wherever you may be. The bright good morning voice who's heard but never seen.
Are you kidding me? 45's in my rearview mirror. Give me a break. It's the Mike Novak Show. And then, by the way, that I'm sending that song out to my buddy Tom Neufeld, who listens, and he knows why I send it out to him. Speaking of buddies, Dave Coulter, one of yours and mine, Chris Mest from Tree Guardian, tweeted, he says, Dave C. is a kindred spirit. He has an interest in something most people don't care about, but he feels is important. And I'm with you.
Thanks, Chris.
It is, you know, hedgerow is kind of not on anybody's radar.
Exactly.
But it makes so much sense, you know?
I like the way you think. It's one of those things that I think there is a lot of common sense applications, whether it's rural or urban areas.
All right, here's the argument against it, I guess. Mm-hmm. People say, messy.
Yep.
Too hard to upkeep.
Yep.
How do we, you know, and then the exotic invasives will get in there, and, you know, Kathy McGlynn's going to be on in just a few minutes.
Exactly. And all those points are valid points. As a horticulturist, as an arborist, you know, the people I work with, you know, they deal, everybody's got budgets. Everybody's got to deal with management issues, no matter what they are. So,
And that's the thing. I mean, we want it all. We want to be able to clean it up without any muss, any fuss, and it better be neat and tidy, or we're not interested. Well, folks, this is why we plant species that are males, so we don't have fruit because fruit's messy. And then my buddy Tom Ogren, who's written about allergy-free gardening, says we create these pollen corridors because we're neatness freaks. Right. And then we're paying the price because at night it blows in your window and you wonder why you can't sleep because you got allergies and you're breathing in, sucking in this stuff all night, like sucking in pet coke. Mm-hmm. You know, it's except these are we've planted these mm-hmm. and put these out. Mm-hmm. Where do we put them? We put these corridors outside of hospitals. We put them outside of schools and we wonder why people are having a hard time getting better.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, it's like in a lot of ways, it's like a lot of this stuff is common sense. It's like any other type of gardening. If you put in a vegetable garden, you have to weed it. You have to take care of it. There's going to be invasives that come into a vegetable garden.
So what?
A prairie.
Sure, they are.
Yeah,
so this is always part of the issue.
Yep.
So how do you get your point across? What are you doing? I mean, I'm thinking slogans now. Hedgerows for the future. Hedgerows. I have no idea.
Well, one of the problems is, again, the word hedgerow is it can be a bit of a stumbling block here in the United States. So I mean, it may need a PR campaign.
Well, yeah, we can rename.
True.
Hey, listen, I've already started my PR campaign to rename milkweed. I'm calling it monarch plant. Do not use the word milkweed.
Good
because
idea.
The word weed is in it.
Yep.
You call it monarch plant and more people will grow it.
That's a good idea.
So what do we call hedgerows? We need to, you're not going to come up with it right now, but we need to come up with something.
Well,
for hedgerow.
I just wrote a little bit more about these plants and a friend of mine up in Minnesota, Mike Reichenbach, gave me a word, refugia, which is...
I like that. I saw that word. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Isn't that an awesome word? I wish I could take credit for it because others have used it too.
Refugia.
Refugia.
As in refuge.
Exactly.
And so...
But that's another word we might have to do some explaining to, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's going
to... it's easier to understand when you see it on paper than it is when you hear it.
Yeah.
You see refugia, you go, oh yeah, refuge. Yeah,
sure.
I get it.
Sure.
But maybe that's the word. Refuge corridors.
But that's what it's about. I mean, we're trying to give these creatures a place to live,
Yeah.
In a world where we're losing space, probably in the last, hour of the show, we've lost how much space out there, do you think,
Well, it's
we laugh about
stunning.
Laugh about the stuff, but it's
I don't laugh about it.
No,
I cry about it.
No, I know. I don't mean that in a humorous way, but it's just one of these things that's... we have choices we can make, and I think we've got we've got the tools that are out there. I mean, if you look around, there's lots of good resources. We just have to have the courage to use them.
I think that's a good way to end it. You can find out, more information by going to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, read about Dave Coulter, and give me a quick plug for you. What does your business do? I mean,
Basically, you're looking at the business. It's just me. I work with municipalities, engineers, landscape architects. I do urban forestry consulting work, horticultural consulting work, project management, things like that. And at Triton College, I'm an adjunct teacher in their sustainable horticulture program, which we've just ramp that up in a big way. We're doing a lot of stuff with urban agroecology, sustainable horticulture, and
good
urban farming. So we're fighting the fight.
Good for you. Triton College. And if you're interested in the biz, and that would be a good place to study for anybody thinking about it. And, contact Dave. And I've got the information. You can go to osagegroup.com. And, Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure. It really has been.
Well, we'll do it again. We have to follow through. All right?
Yeah, exactly.
We will do this.
It's got to be more than talk.
Refugia.
Refugia.
Just
refugia.
You like refugia. Okay.
Yeah,
refugia.
Well, it's another word.
Yeah. It looks as though spring sneaked up on us, only a month and a half late, something like that. So have you been to Christy Weber Farm and Garden on Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village? They've got everything to get you caught up, in case you weren't paying attention. And I'm talking about annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and planters, not to mention certified organic and heirloom seeds and vegetable and herb starters. If it's all vegetables you want, try rosemary, cilantro, basil, tomatoes, lettuce, kale, chard, and more. Do be careful. We mentioned this earlier in the first hour. I don't think you want to be setting your tomatoes out just yet. It's still cool. If things cool off a little bit, or if you do, better be monitoring the temperatures. The average frost-free date is the 15th of May, so today's the 11th. You got 4 days. Yeah, keep your fingers crossed. And if you're looking for earth-friendly gardening, Christy Weber Farm and Garden has red wiggler worms for vermicomposting, ladybugs for organic pest control, mason bee homes and cocoons. I've got my mason bee home right here in my hot little hands. And praying mantids, which are perhaps the coolest insects in the garden. Yes, they'll eat pretty much any other insect, good or bad, but they're still pretty darn cool. Go to CWFNG.com or spell it out, ChristyWeberFarmAndGarden.com. Either one will get you there. Christy Weber Farm and Garden, 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. Find them on Facebook or go online. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie Veggie and Herb Plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow-em-yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie Plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at BonniePlants.com.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
If you're seeing spots, but they happen to be in your lawn, you might not need new glasses because you're dealing with critter damage. It might be time to turn to Bonide's Mole Max. It effectively repels moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. And the environmentally friendly Mole Max formulation makes it a great product to apply in areas where children and pets play. Just apply 3 or 4 times a year to send nuisance animal pests away. If your lawn needs some repair from mole damage, use Molemax RX with Lawn Revitalizer. It will help repair your lawn while repelling the moles and voles. Bonide's Molemax and Molemax RX are available in a granule for easy spreader application or in a convenient 5-pound shaker applicator for flower or vegetable gardens. Molemax is also available in a quart-sized ready-to-spray liquid with a built-in hose and sprayer. And Molemax can be found at Mel's Ace Hardware in Elmhurst, Gensler Gardens in Loves Park, and Sonoris Brothers in Frankfurt, or you can visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. BONIDE.com. Indeed, but it's not quite closing time. We still have to go visit Kathy McGlynn from the Northeast Illinois Invasive Plant Partnership, or NIIPP. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Should I wish you a happy Mother's Day? Are you going to go visit Mom, or are you going to do something like that? Or are you just going to go, eradicate some invasive plants this morning?
I'm a god mom, so thank you.
Okay, there you go. Then I'm talking to a deity. I always appreciate that. May is the month that we recognize and attack invasive plants. It's Illinois Invasive Species Awareness Month, and that's part of the reason you're here. Of course, Kathy always gives me a holler and says, I think it's time we discuss some of this. And I don't know if you heard the last conversation, but Phragmites came up, and I'll bet that's one of the plants that's on your to-be-eliminated list.
It would be lovely. It covers so many acres in this region. We're still trying to figure out how to adjust the different techniques for the different habitats and sites. So it's a long-term problem. Yeah.
You know, I'll bet there are a lot of people don't even know that. I'll bet folks driving along the freeway somewhere and they see this plant and it's a grass and it looks kind of sweet and nice and it, you know, it covers little huge swaths. I'm betting that there are a lot of folks out there that don't even know it's an invasive.
And I think in that case, ignorance is bliss, because once you do know, everywhere you drive, you see them.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, we have to educate people. So why don't you explain a little bit about Phragmites and why it's so horrible?
Well, it tends to produce monocultures. There's very few species that can live within the same area it's growing. And my experience as a field biologist, it changes the microhabitat. So within a Phragmites stand, the temperature during the summer is quite elevated, and it's not usually used in wetlands. There's a lot of areas used by birds for nesting and reproduction. Not a lot of birds will use Phragmites for nesting, so you basically can write off the area that's invaded for most birds.
Oh, dear.
You just won't use it, yeah.
Well, so, and it crowds out pretty much all other plant life, right?
It does, and a lot of those plants provide food and shelter for insects and birds and other animals, like moles, which you mentioned earlier as well.
Yeah. And we need places for those animals. You might not want them in your lawn, but you certainly want them in your natural areas.
Definitely. And they're really cool.
Yeah. I mean, actually, a mole is a really exotic plant, or plant, animal, a species. They're kind of fun if you're not trying to get them out of your yard. So folks, when you're driving along and you see these big swaths of grasses and they've got these feathery plumes on them, chances are you're looking at Phragmites. Are there other plants that are similar to that?
In terms of coverage, buckthorn is probably right up there.
Okay. No, I was thinking in terms of the grasses. So pretty much everything we see along the road is Phragmites.
Phragmites, and there's some reed canary grass.
Okay.
That's
what I was looking for. Yeah. So some of that and some of that. But as you say, buckthorn is also a terrible problem. And part of the reason is that it reseeds so prolifically.
It does. And another part of the reason is many people are able to control it on their own property, but they can't get their neighbors to do anything about it.
See, and this is where the education comes in. We're still having this problem, and I dare say we probably will for a long time. If you don't understand the nature of this plant and how it crowds out our natives and how it now we believe it might have allelopathic properties, it's possible, and I don't know if you and I talked about this, Kathy, but I have talked about it on the show, where it's possible it's preventing some amphibians.
Yes, there was a study done by Allison Sacerdote at Lincoln Park, and she's published that. And there's also some work done on the ecosystem impacts, so it actually contributes to erosion in ravine systems.
Wow, it does. Yeah. And it prevents amphibians from multiplying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no buckthorn, folks. I don't care if you think it's your shade for your backyard. You better get something else in there. I'm at the point here, Kathy, where I don't have any tolerance. You know, I'm rude. It's like, no, cut it down. Just get over yourself and really do the right thing. It's like when we're talking to Dave Coulter about hedgerows, we need to have areas where our native plants can thrive and our native ecosystems can at least have some place.
Yeah.
So what are you working on for? I know that the governor declared that this is the Invasive Species Awareness Month. What are you focusing on for the month?
Wow, we're very busy, actually. I've got a number of steps that we're working through, and the theme of this year's anniversary, it's like the fifth anniversary of Illinois' Invasive Species Awareness Month, the theme is invasive species affect everyone, and my push this month is that everyone can do something about it. So I've been working with Illinois Indiana Sea Grant. We'll be launching our fourth season of our Clean Boats Crew, doing aquatic invasive species education and outreach in Chicago harbors, as well as North Point Marina and Chain of Lakes in Northwest Indiana. to providing boaters and anglers and recreational water users with tips for maintaining their equipment so they're not transporting invasive plants and animals from water body to water body. So that's a big issue.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that sometimes we lose sight of that the aquatic species can also be pernicious.
Very much so, and quite expensive to deal with, and just oftentimes really, really difficult to eradicate once they become established.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force is setting up a big media push this month to get people aware of that particular plant that hasn't yet arrived to this state, as far as we know, but we want people to keep a lookout for it wherever they happen to recreate. Mm-hmm. And be able to report it to us if they see something suspicious. So we're going to be promoting that a lot, too. And then for my Audubon Toyota Together Green project, we're working on raising public awareness in the Hispanic community about invasive garden plants, which you and I talked about in March. So we're hosting a bunch of three workshops in Waukegan, and next Saturday we have a bilingual garlic mustard pull at Waukegan's Roosevelt Park.
Okay. Well, you can get more information at NIIPP.net. Always a pleasure, Kathy. Thanks so much, and have a good May.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We're done here. End of the show. You ready, Carol? Go green or?
Go home.
You bet.